Greetings. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash.
And we're building bridges.
Later on, Justice Ford Tortugita, a martyred environmental activist, shot to death by the police while protesting the monster RoboCop development training facility the community has named for Cop City on pristine, often referred to as the lungs of Atlanta.
And then the call for global actions to demand the Mexican government ramp up its search and begin to find two environmental human rights activists disappeared from their bullet-riddled car after protesting mining operations on indigenous land. We now speak with Nancy Trevino, Associate Director for Network Power at Alianza Americas Presente.org, and Mika Hirschkind, a policy advocate at the Southern Center for Human Rights, not speaking for them, though, but this is some of the work he does, an organizer with Georgia Freedom Letters and a co-creator of the hashtag 82 Abolition Political Education Project, and most significantly, an Atlanta organizer to stop Cop City. And we're going to tackle the issue by finding out more about what Cop City is and justice for Tortugita, an environmental activist who was murdered by the Atlanta police while protesting this horrid RoboCop complex. And I thank you both for joining us.
Thanks for having thank us, you. Amy.
Totally our interest and concern. And I do want to start with the circumstances that led to the death of Tortugita. So Mika, take us down to Atlanta and tell us how this terrible tragedy happened. What were the protests about, and what led to the death of Tortugita, this monster, RoboCop?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So just a little bit of context. Here in Atlanta, back in September of 2021, the Atlanta City Council approved a lease of a bunch of city land in the southeast part of Atlanta. It's a majority black area of town. And they leased 381 acres to the Atlanta Police Foundation. The Atlanta Police Foundation is this pretty shady private nonprofit that acts sort of as the funding arm for the city's police force. They raise a lot of money, they do a lot of projects, and they're not subject to oversight in the same way. And the plan for this 381 acres of forest, despite an immense amount of public and local opposition, is to destroy this forest land, of course, in the middle of climate disaster, and to replace it with a massive police training facility known as Cop City. And so, you know, there was all this opposition over the summer of 2021 when the plans first went public. It was, you know, the environmentalists, the abolitionists, folks who just care about, you know, good governance and, you know, transparency, folks who recognize the connections between policing and gentrification. And all of these folks, even local neighborhood associations, spoke out against it. But of course, they ran through this plan anyway. And so after this plan was approved, basically Atlantans said, hey, this doesn't end here. Just because you've approved the plan, you know, that doesn't mean it's just going to happen. And through, you know, nonviolent direct action, we can actually stop this thing. And so there have been folks who have been living in the forest and protecting the forest since that plan was approved. They've built, you know, there's a lot of coverage of it. I would encourage folks to look up the Stop Cop City movement. But they've, you know, they've built a whole community in there. And just in the recent, in the past couple months, police have escalated their raids on that forest. So back in December, they arrested five people, charged them all with domestic terrorism, which carries a 5 to 35 year sentence. And then just on January 18th, about a week ago, they raided the forest once more. And that is when Georgia State Patrol tragically shot and killed Tortugita, who was a forest defender who was living in the forest and helping to protect it.
And I'm interested, Nancy, the involvement and the interest before we continue to talk about what Cop City is, what I'm calling RoboCop City, this kind of high-tech training monstrosity that further militarizes and internationalizes in many ways the repression, not the safety, but the repression employ occupying armies in our various communities. So, Nancy, as an immigrants' right network, what is your interest in working against this project and your support for justice for Tortuguita?
Yeah, I think many of the points that Micah made in his, you know, response to you revolve around these, like, larger values that our communities and, you know, migrant and Latinx communities hold, right? Good government and democracy, and the respect for human life and the planet. And I think that's what brings us into this conversation. You know, as has been widely shared in media outlets as well, this individual, Tortuguita, comes from, you know, a Latin American background. His family was in Panama. So I think identity-wise, right, we're definitely gravitated towards becoming more deeply involved and engaged in stopping this project. But not only that, right, I think we uphold these values of dignity and respect for migrant Latinx communities, the respect of our planet, and really are aligned with the values of the ending the militarization, right, of police and this continuing oppression of people in the Atlanta area who have been defending this forest for quite some time now.
Tell us more about, Mika, the whole framework of the approval, the contracts being let and so on, and the actual function of this. Again, I continue while it's called Cop City, Stop Cop City. I keep thinking of it as RoboCop City mm-hmm. because it has all that kind of technology and increased tools that ultimately right. lead to repression rather than any form of safety. So talk right. more about what this complex really is about and who's pushing, who's supporting it.
Sure, sure. So, you know, the official framing of this center is that it's going to be a police and firefighter training center. The reason that organizers immediately sort of rebranded it as Cop City is that the designs for Cop City literally include a mock city within it. So a parking lot, a gas station, a school, you know, all of the places that people live and work and play and hang out and rest are, you know, included in this facility as a way for police to, you know, train and perfect their deadly tactics that they use on Atlanta residents every day. And, you know, of course, one of the justifications for this as well, you know, people, you know, in the uprisings, you know, wanted more training. And, you know, and of course, that's false. The officer who killed and, you know, who murdered Rayshard Brooks, Garrett Rolfe, had over 2,000 hours of training. He had de-escalation training. He had, you know, bias training, all of these things that they talk about with training. And he still shot and killed Rayshard Brooks. And so, you know, everyone is saying this is not about training to make the police somehow, you know, magically less deadly. This is a way for police to perfect their tactics of, you know, control and repression that they want to use on people. And so, like I said, you know, the residents, especially residents closest to this area, you know, came out really hard against it. People were really vocal. There was this massive cross-issue coalition. But on the other hand, there was this sort of network of forces that were really supportive of the project. And so that includes, of course, the Atlanta Police Foundation. And the Atlanta Police Foundation on its board has all of these different corporate actors, a lot of Georgia-based corporations who back them, who put a massive amount of money into them. The Police Foundation has pledged $60 million for this facility, and then $30 million is going to come from public funds. Through open records requests back in the summer of 2021, as, you know, people were so loudly opposing this project, we found these emails where the CEO of the Police Foundation sent to the previous mayors of Atlanta's chief operating officer this email being like, hey, we know that council members know that, you know, people don't want this project, that they need a cover in order to vote for it. But I'm forwarding you the email from this big CEO who's saying you need to make this thing now because, you know, the CEOs and the people with money are angry and, you know, they're all worried about the rising crime. And so you better make this thing. And so, you know, not only was it the Atlanta Police Foundation and all of their corporate backers, but then there's also been so many attempts in the media to manufacture consent for the project. And so, you know, the most obvious element here is that in Atlanta, our main newspaper, our main media outlet is the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And they posted, you know, all of these various op-eds and editorials saying why this Cop City was so important and so needed. But then when you dig into it a little bit, the AJC, this outlet, is owned by Cox Enterprises. And the CEO of Cox Enterprises is the guy who's leading the fundraising campaign to raise $60 million for Cop City. And so we have this network of forces that are all invested. You know, it's the developers, especially the real estate tycoons, who know that they need police to gentrify and, you know, to push people out of their neighborhoods and to protect their own capital. And all of them have banded together to push through this project.
And Nancy, from Presente.org, in terms of killings, there were two killings in Michoacan that seemed like they were protected by the ruling establishment there. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I can definitely add on to that, right? You know, we're continuing to see the persecution of water and land protectors. You know, just days before Tortuguita's murder by police, two human rights and environmental justice organizers, defenders in Michoacan, Mexico, and Antonio Diaz and Ricardo Lagunas were disappeared after being very actively engaged in organizing their community to stop the continued extraction of minerals in Michoacan, in their particular community. So as we're continuing to see the constant repression of, you know, human rights defenders and those who are advocating for the end of extraction that is causing, as I'm sure your listeners must know, climate and environmental crisis, these two individuals have yet to be found. And so we're organizing with the families, with networks in Mexico and in the United States, including our member organizations, to demand the immediate search and rescue of these individuals and for them to be returned alive.
Before we continue with that, I just want to move back to understanding more about what's happening with Cop City and whether both of you see the evolution and development of Cop City, which is part of what somebody lost their life for, as relevant to the Scorpions, the Scorpion crew that took the life of Tyree Nichols. Is that what the protest is about, the understanding, the militarization and development of all of these things as tools of oppression within Black and brown and queer communities, indigenous communities?
I would say yes, and I'll let Micah also add on to that. I think, you know, for decades we've seen what state violence and police violence has done to communities of color, right? Black, brown, indigenous, and those things have just been escalating more and more, right? I think the response to, you know, Atlanta's response and the government's response to the demands that people across the country were making following the murder of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and so many others just demonstrates that, you know, the more organized we get and the more, you know, visionary and bold our demands get, the state and the police will continue to oppress, right? So we've seen with these demands and this bold organizing, how the state and how police has been responding to this. So I'll leave it there, and I'll let Micah also, you know.
Yeah, and we will get back to, and we will find out more about global actions to demand search and rescue of the disappeared Mexican human and environmental rights defenders. But justice for Tortuguita, the continuing protests, tell us about that, Mika.
Yeah. Folks are continuing to organize. I think, you know, something that's important to mention about this movement is that it is a completely decentralized and autonomous movement. And what that means essentially is that there's no one organization or spokesperson or leader. There's no one who, you know, gives the sign off on things. People are really encouraged to, you know, take action where you are, to come to Atlanta if you want to. Cop City, as you mentioned, Mimi, is, you know, not just something that's going to affect Atlanta. It's something that's going to affect the rest of the country and the rest of the world as police forces from all over train here and, you know, share their tactics, share their knowledge and their techniques. And so, you know, the movement is going strong, and I think people are undeterred and are really determined to make sure that Cop City is never built. And so that, you know, that not only includes folks who are defending the forest, that also includes, you know, efforts to make sure that the permits don't go through for, the construction of this thing. That includes the beautiful preschool network that is, you know, marching and hosting rallies and going to the forest and, you know, these children who are saying, hey, these trees are our future. We need them. Don't cut them down. It's people doing the narrative work and, you know, speaking publicly. It's really such a broad and diverse and decentralized movement. And it's, you know, it's going strong. And I think that people are determined to stop Cop City and, you know, to make sure that they honor Tortuguita, and their death and their murder at the hands of the state.
And in terms of the charges, I mean, we're talking about terrorism charges that have been leveled against protesters. Mm-hmm. What is to be done about that? What kind of support do you need? And most definitely, how do we move forward in terms of justice for Tortuguita, the martyred environmental activist killed mm-hmm. while protesting Cop City? And then we're going to find out, because it's the same struggle, same fight in many ways. Nancy's mm-hmm. going to tell us more about the global actions to demand search and rescue of the disappeared Mexican human and environmental rights defenders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so about 20 people so far have been charged with domestic terrorism. That includes people who, you know, were living in the forest, and that includes people who have just been picked up and arrested at protests. And so, you know, the repression is really in full swing. Folks have been charged in both the DeKalb County, by the DeKalb County DA and the Fulton County DA. And so absolutely join calls to those offices to, you know, drop the charges against all the protesters, stop the criminalization of dissent and of free speech. There's a great website. I'm not sure who made it because, again, you know, this is a really decentralized movement. But if you go to StopCopCitySolidarity.org. That's StopCopCitySolidarity.org. There's a lot of ways that people can take actions. You can, you know, host a protest or a vigil where you live. You can write to, you know, any number of the corporations that are on there who are behind the funding of this thing. You can call into the Atlanta City Council, call the Atlanta mayor. There's a ton of ways for folks to plug in, if you're interested.
And we're going to get in as much as we can from Nancy Trevino on the Migrant-Led Network, which is denouncing the assassination of Atlanta environmental activists, and taking us now to Mexico, where two major human rights activists are disappeared. Their bullet-ridden car was found as they were standing in opposition, environmental opposition, human rights opposition to a mining company that has been destroying indigenous land. In the time that we have left, Nancy, tell us about our two indigenous activists who we are demanding that there be pressure put on the Mexican government to ramp up the search and rescue of our two important professors, activists who are now disappeared.
Absolutely. And again, I'll raise their names. One is a human rights lawyer, Ricardo Arturo Lagunes Gasca, and the other is Professor Antonio Diaz Valencia, who is a leader of the indigenous community of Aquila, which is located in the state of Michoacán, Mexico. As I mentioned before, right, both were victims of kidnapping and forced disappearance on January 15th. And ultimately, you know, our demands are that, right, for them to be returned alive to their families. Both disappeared when they left the communal assembly held in the municipality of Aquila. They were both on their way to the capital of Colima State. Diaz led a group of community members who, with Lagunes, who was their legal advisor, worked in opposition to another community group who unconditionally supports the expansion plans of the multinational mining company, Ternium, who has been operating in Aquila for decades. And as I mentioned before, right, extracting precious minerals from the land. Since then, we have no information on their whereabouts, and we're, you know, joining global actions in solidarity with their families and their community in Mexico to deliver letters to the Mexican consulates across the country. So part of our member organizations will be doing that. We'll also be continuing to amplify our message on social media, and that information can be found on our website, alianzaamericas.org, where you can learn how you can take action as well, signing a petition and many of the similar actions that the Atlanta activists and community and those supporters across the country have been doing.
Nancy, if you could just lift up a little bit more about the mining company, which I was amazed when I did some research on, is a mining company that is, goodness, it's all over the world. This isn't just a small company. And what it is that was being protested by Ricardo Arturo Lagunes Gasca and Professor Antonio Diaz Valencia.
Yeah, absolutely. So essentially, you know, as many of these like multinational corporations have historically done Latin America, they have, you know, taken precious minerals from the land that have had impacts on all sorts of things, right? Like labor abuses, environmental degradation, impacts to the water systems, just an array of things over the, you know, two decades that the company has operated there. So I think to my best knowledge, these have been demands that the community has been leading on for there to be, you know, worker rights, for the mine to stop, right? There have been blockades in response to the disappearances. Things have just escalated in that community given the act of organizing happening there. So, you know, the corporation, as you mentioned, right, operates globally. And Mexico is just one of the locations in which
And what is the corporation?
Mineral. The corporation is Ternium. It's a multinational corporation, as you mentioned.
So in the minutes we have left, I want to again ask you, Nancy Trevino, what is it that we should be calling for and joining with Presente.org, this wonderful organization that is part of Alianzas Americas? What do we need to do to assure that there is truly a response from the Mexican government to locate these two human rights activists and then just go back and once again with Mika Hirschkind, what do we do up here in New York and across the country to understand the imperative of becoming and fighting harder as environmental activists and against militarism, police murder, police brutality, and stopping Cop City? Nancy, and then Mika?
Yeah, absolutely. Right, join protests, sign letters, demand that the Mexican government, right, immediately organize a search and rescue mission for these two individuals.
And lift up their names again.
Their family. And their names are human rights defense lawyer Ricardo Arturo Lagunes Gasca and Professor Antonio Diaz Valencia.
And Mika, similarly, what is to be done up here to end in the name of Tortuguita, in the name of Tyree Nichols, in the name of people who have been murdered by the police by existing while being black or being brown or being immigrants or being poor or being labor activists, and to stop the increased militarization and not only defund the police, but goodness, dismantle policing as we know it in its entirety. It is not a safety mechanism. It is a mechanism of terror against our communities.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say, Nancy, we stand in full solidarity with you all, and we appreciate your solidarity as well. I would encourage folks to go to stopcopcitysolidarity.org. Again, you know, there are so many contractors and so many moneyed interests who are involved in pushing this thing through, despite such significant community opposition, that, you know, every contractor we can get to pull out of the project deals another blow to it. You know, every corporation that removes its funding deals another blow. You know, putting pressure on the DeKalb County District Attorney, the Fulton County District Attorney, whose name you might know from, you know, the Trump charges. You know, there are just so many ways to plug in. You can also go to defendtheatlantaforest.org, and there's a lot more information there. We appreciate, you know, I know everyone appreciates any and all solidarity wherever you are.
Is there any, in 10 seconds, any immediate likelihood of charges being brought against the cops at this juncture without our help for the murder of Tortuguita?
Not that I'm aware of. I think that it's doubtful. They are protecting their own right now.
All right. We've got a lot of work to do. Nancy Trevino, Mika Hirschkind, we'll be back to you. We'll find out more about this. Thank you all for listening. Continue to educate, agitate, and organize for a better world as possible if we are determined to make it so. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Kay Nash.
Thanks for listening.